the Fox. It's the TJ Miller.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. My name's Alan. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, Alan, thanks for having me on, sir.
Of course, of course. I guess you actually called me a little bit early. I apologize. I missed your call.
Oh, no, that's okay. I think it's better now. I feel more relaxed. I think you're more relaxed. It already feels better, you know?
Well, it's so unusual because every phone interview I've ever had to do, I've always had to wait. You're the first person that ever did it early, so it's my fault.
No. And this would be seriously one of the first... this would be one of the first times I've ever been early. So, yeah.
Well, we're chatting with TJ Miller on First Thing Fairfield County, 95.9, The Fox.
First Thing, not the Second Thing Fairfield. Yeah, nobody wants to tune into that. It's already done.
That's right, and you'll be coming our way this Thursday through Sunday, Vinnie Brand's Stress Factory in Bridgeport.
Yes. And I got to tell you, I'm excited. I'm playing his Stress Factory in New Jersey in a few weeks. But I've performed in South Windsor at an entertainment complex. And so that was really, really fun. And I loved the audience. But it'll be great to actually be at, like, a well-known established comedy club instead of adjacent to a video game arcade and bowling alley.
I believe what you're describing is actually an off-track betting location, too.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I give betting advice for the horses, but it's mostly based on their names. You know, if they have a funny name or a name that I think is good, I tell people to bet on that. And if it doesn't go well, then I leave before the race is over. But, I've been excited to do this Connecticut club. And this is, you know, these are famous clubs. And I don't know, Connecticut, just for me, I've found the audiences to be really great. And, you know, some of them are sort of waspy and difficult to be around. But for the most part, it's a state that I haven't really ever performed in. But now I live in New York City, and so I hope to be out there a lot more. And it's been, you know, it's been interesting to kind of be performing in the tri-state area and getting to know the people here. But, yeah, I think it's going to be fantastic. And, you know, it's so interesting because a lot of people know me from Deadpool or Silicon Valley or the Emoji Movie. I know you've seen it and you're a fan, and I don't want to talk about it. But it's it's interesting, I think, for people to see me kind of be in my element as a stand-up comedian. Because people don't realize that I started off as a stand-up comedian and I'm an improviser by trade. I started Second City. I came up in the Chicago comedy scene with, like, Pete Holmes. That's why I did his show Crashing on HBO. And Kumail and Hannibal Buress and, you know, Kyle Kinane. Just all these people that have become very prominent stand-up comedians. You know, I started off with them, and I've just gotten so much work. I've been fortunate enough to get so much work in Hollywood that I really haven't toured that much. I haven't toured extensively, let me put it that way. I've toured a lot. But now I'm really focused on stand-up. That's why I left Silicon Valley. That and to live in New York City with my incredible wife, who's a mixed media artist here. And so now I'm kind of touring internationally, and my new tour is called Touring in Perpetuity because I kind of don't plan on stopping. I love it so much. And, you know, I just got back from Scandinavia, and I've been playing, you know, every club that you can imagine coast to coast. I just got back from Oxnard, California. I didn't know that was a real place. Some people that live there didn't know it was a real place, but they definitely should change the name from Oxnard to anything else. And so, I've been traveling all over, and it's just been fantastic. I mean, you know, I've actually been focused more on, I did Omaha. I'm going back there for a 420 show. I've got Wisconsin on the books. I just got back from a big tour in Michigan. So I've been really focused on sort of the center of the country and the East Coast. We did Philadelphia. I've got Boston coming up. But I'm very excited about... you know, Connecticut and New Jersey and New York. And I just got passed at the Comic Strip last night, so I've been playing a lot of Manhattan clubs. And I love bouncing around and doing shows in Manhattan, but for me, doing the comedy clubs is sort of what I love, because those are people that know comedy, they're comedy fans, and then they come and see me, and I'm a very capable stand-up comedian in the sense that I've been doing it for over 15 years, and it's a very dynamic show. So there's a lot of improvisation. I have a slide trombone, although I do not know how to play the slide trombone. There's a ventriloquist dummy. I don't know how to do that either. There's some juggling and circus elements, but at the same time, there's some philosophical humor. I help release people from their death anxiety. I talk about morality being relative. But I also have a lot of material about cats. You know, so I discuss cats and why people don't like cat lovers and how I have two cats. And I don't like talking about that, but I've got material on it. And, of course, we talk about drugs and alcohol because it is a comedy club. And then, you know, I talk about technology. And so it really runs the gamut, and it's a fun show. It kind of moves quickly, and every show is different. And, you know, anybody that heckles me gets verbally eviscerated. So, you know, it's perfect for Connecticut.
That's exactly what we're looking for. And we'll be seeing you this weekend, Vinny Brand's Stress Factory. I think you got six shows this weekend between Thursday and Sunday.
That's right. Six shows, two shows on Friday and Saturday, a show on Thursday for the people that like to get the party started early, and a show on Sunday for the people that don't want the weekend to end. So any show that you come to, you're cool for doing it.
Well, I love the fact that I'm getting to talk to you because your voice is so distinctive. And I remember that the first time we really sort of saw you was in the Cloverfield film, although most of that is really just your voice. Is that how you sort of started getting so much of your voiceover work?
Yeah, I always wonder about that because I did How to Train Your Dragon soon after that. And I've been doing voiceover before that, but only for like, I did a Carfax.com and a couple of things here and there. But I have only to credit, you know, marijuana use in the legal state of Colorado and California and smoking cloves, which clove cigarettes are, I don't know if you know this, but I used to hang out with primarily goth teenage girls when I was in high school. And so, you know, I smoke Djarum Blacks, and that has given me kind of this raspy, gravelly voice that is so popular in the United States because it's reminiscent of a cowboy, and also it reminds you that I truly do not give an F. And you know, so I, it's ironic, I'm actually in the SiriusXM place to, you know, not cursing, that's strange. But, because I had a thing for a radio show here earlier. But I love radio. I mean, that's exactly it. It's like I got on the phone with you right after talking about doing a show on satellite radio. And I've just always, you know, my father and I listened to radio plays growing up, and not dramatic ones, funny stuff. And, you know, the George Burns Comedy Hour and Edgar Bergen, you know, doing the Charlie McCarthy with W.C. Fields radio stuff. Again, that weird ventriloquism that doesn't matter and you can't even see their mouth. But
and they made it work, though.
They really made it work, and that's because Charlie McCarthy was such a funny, he had such a funny dynamic and with such a clear comic voice. But yeah, you didn't even need to see that it was the interplay between the two of them was all you needed. But yeah, I kind of, you know, I started doing children's animation, and then the Emoji Movie was the most recent thing that I did. Then that was a big project because I was sort of the star of the film, and it's me and Anna Faris, and I had to sort of do everything. But I think that Cloverfield really prepared me for that because I remember reading the script, and they didn't. It was really secretive, and we had to go to the studio after we had signed on to read the script. And I'm reading, and I'm going, wait, did I film this? And they're like, yeah, you're behind the camera for the whole movie. And I go, for the whole movie? And they're like, no. I mean, you're going to be on camera once or twice for sure, but, you know, it's... I said, so is this, like, just my voice? And I said, yeah, and I remember thinking, how am I going to be funny without my toddler body and my stupid face with all the crazy expressions that I can make? I mean, I am a physical comedian, not primarily, but that's a big part of how I make people laugh is being so weird looking. And so that was very disconcerting, but I had to be funny and viscerally scared and, you know, romantic and within a love story with Lizzie Kaplan. And so I had to do this, you know, this wide range of acting using just my voice. So I think in some ways you're right. It was the perfect practice for what would end up being a big part of the comedy that I do, which is voiceover across all mediums. because I have a podcast also called Cashing In with TJ Miller that's on iTunes and Libsyn and all that stuff, and people love that podcast. We've got a big following and do live shows all over the country, and I just am attracted to radio. I mean, you know, what? How did you get started in radio? Because you obviously are good, and you have a great voice. And
so I got my start. I sort of grew up always wanting to be a part of it, and then when I went to college, I joined the college radio station. The
nice.
Radio group that was the biggest in Philadelphia was only a mile from where I went to school, so I didn't have to go anywhere, and I could just start working there part-time, and then I hung around long enough, and then they gave me this job.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in some ways, that's exactly what it is. We kind of all hang around it long enough that eventually, you know, and I think it helped that DreamWorks knew me from She's Out of My League, and Steven Spielberg has always strangely been like my Great Expectations, like, benefactor that no one knows about. Is it Great Expectations? Who knows? I'm not even literate. I listen to most of these books on tape. But, you know, I think Spielberg kind of from the get-go with Carpoolers and She's Out of My League, he sort of said, you know, see if he would be good for How to Train Your Dragon. And, you know, since then, now he's no longer involved with DreamWorks, so it's not really appealing as much to me to be involved with them at all. But I, you know, I've worked with Sony now, and Big Hero 6, I think, was just me. I was on Gravity Falls and, you know, had done some guest spots in Disney stuff, and so I slowly, you know, got closer and closer to them, and Kate and I are really good friends with Bennett Lasseter and his girlfriend Kelly, and so, you know, I just was within the Disney cult for long enough that eventually they said, hey, do you want to, you know, give us tape for Big Hero 6? And I remember they asked me about that, and I was so busy, and I was with this terrible ex-girlfriend at her house in the Hamptons. That should tell you everything right there. And, you know, she kept saying to me, "Why are you just going to work while we're, I mean, we're here with my parents. I mean, what is your problem?" Meanwhile, she didn't have a job or any way to make money, so I had to work. And so they asked me to submit tape for Big Hero 6, and I said, look, I can't do this. I need to focus on my girlfriend. And I remember my agent kind of going, I really think that you should do this. And I was like, you know, is it more TV? He's like, no, this is going to be a movie and probably a pretty big movie. And I was going, well, I mean, what am I supposed to do? I can't just leave here to go find a radio studio to do the audition. He's like, I would really, really consider doing this. And I finally said, well, what do you want me to do? Can I just do it on my iPhone? And he said, yeah, I guess. Just can you go into a closet where there'll be, you know, it'll sort of be soundproof? And I was like, fine. So I got Big Hero 6 from going into my ex-girlfriend's parents' bedroom closet and recording the voice of Fred. And as you hear from it, it's very just similar to my voice.
Sure.
Because I was hurriedly just being like, you know, science, yeah, and kind of doing that to get through the audition. But it sort of worked because he has the most laissez-faire, devil-may-care attitude of any of them. They're all super motivated, and he's kind of just the fun time guy. So that was exactly what I did. I just wanted to have fun. And it is interesting. You know, people will come see my show. They'll say, I like you from Big Hero 6. I actually did Texas recently, and this girl in the front row wasn't feeling it. The rest of the audience was having a great time. And I sort of said, well, what's, you know, is there any particular comment? She goes, well, I like you from Big Hero 6. So I said, well, this isn't really dirty, but it's definitely not G-rated material. And so then I kind of geared some of the jokes towards her and did more children's-like humor. But Cash Levy from the podcast, the host of Cashing In with TJ Miller, he brought his two kids, and they're 6 and 8, to see my show. And as I was doing the act, I realized it does have a lot of adult language. Not some adult material, but it's definitely not appropriate. Let me put it this way, Connecticut. Do not bring your 6 and 8-year-old to the show. It's not appropriate for them.
Well, we're talking about the shows, of course, at Vinnie Brand's Stress Factory this weekend. We're chatting with TJ Miller. You mentioned Big Hero 6. In the credit scene, your character, of course, meets your dad, who was voiced by Stan Lee, who passed away this Monday. Did you get to meet him in real life when you were recording?
Yeah, and the strangest Stan Lee connection. It has been a sad couple days, because nobody really connected this that much, but I also worked with him in Deadpool, in both of the Deadpools. So I had done a Comic-Con or two with him. I knew him from the strip club scene in the first Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second Deadpool, he was my father in Big Hero 6. So I actually knew him quite well, and we were actually about to do a vodka ad together at one point. And I just, you know, I tweeted this, but he just kind of was one of those guys that you wanted to be around, but also you wanted to be, because he was so funny and so sly and so smart, but he's also very kind and warm, and he had a lot of humility. And I think, you know, if you talk about American culture, there aren't many people at his, I would say Mike Judge, maybe, and then, I don't know, the guys who wrote the, you know, Simpsons and... You know, I don't know many people that shaped American culture as much as he did. And now he's kind of changed what major motion pictures are for us. So although I was never a comic book guy, you know, I never nerded out on comic books, I have worked within and seen the film industry change because of him. And probably the film that most people know me from is Deadpool, because it's the most successful R-rated film of all time.
Sure.
And, you know, that I owe that character and the Marvel Universe aspect of it to him. And, you know, it was weird to cross his paths within those two things, because I was never going to do a comic book movie. I just, the least appealing thing to me was, like, being, you know, the blue person from the Avengers. Look at me. That's how little I know about comic books. I'm, like, the blue person.
The green in
the green person. Right, exactly. But I felt like... you know, I just didn't ever think that I would meet him, but I ended up doing, you know, conventions with him and hearing how much he loves that stuff. I mean, he really loved the fans, and he loved how much they appreciated him, and he appreciated that so much and appreciated his fans. And one thing that I was amazed by was he never got sick of meeting people, getting compliments, signing autographs. And, you know, he wanted to be in Deadpool. He thought, you know, that was so fun for him. And you would think that a guy like that could totally, you know, just become a weird, isolated... Who's the guy that collected all of his fingernails, but also...
Oh, Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes, and also invented air travel, but I remember the fingernails thing. And he could have totally Howard Hughes'd it, but instead he, you know, remained sort of a comic book fan... and kind of a lovable geek. And I think, actually, Seth Rogen said it the best, that he made people realize that it's okay to be different. And I was an X-Men fan growing up, and I loved the video game, and I collected the cards. But that, you know, I didn't even really, that didn't crystallize in my mind that he was always saying, like, if you're a mutant, if you're different than anyone else, use those powers for good and be okay with it and don't let people persecute you for it. So he did a lot on beyond just creating culture, but also helping shape the moral compass of American society. So it's a sad thing, and that's a huge loss, but as you'll find out in my stand-up, I also feel that, you know, when a person has lived a really full life, to move on from it and finally be able to rest from all the aspects of life that are fundamentally tragic is pretty nice, and that's why I do comedy. You know, I just think that we should be laughing all the way to the grave, not to be morbid, but also to be morbid.
Well, we'll be laughing this weekend with TJ Miller, coming to Vinnie Brand's Stress Factory in Bridgeport Thursday through Sunday. But next month, we're actually going to see you back on the big screen along with Stan Lee, because they're going to re-release Deadpool 2 as a PG-13 version.
That's right. It's very funny because I'm also in Office Christmas Party,
yep,
which is a movie that came out last Christmas, and people will be watching it a lot this Christmas. If you haven't seen it, it's very, very, very funny. It's like She's Out of My League.
I've seen it. It is very funny. It's you and Jennifer Aniston, and there's the whole
Jason
driving sequence.
Bateman,
at the
yeah,
end.
It's great. And it's got Rob Corddry and Sam. I mean, the cast is what makes that great.
I know it.
Yeah,
you're about.
Kate McKinnon. So, thank you. You're also great at radio. I always marvel at how good, I mean, it's great that you're like, and we will be laughing this weekend with TJ Miller at Vinnie Brand. You know, you're just really, really good. So, but, you know, between Deadpool and Office Christmas Party, this Christmas I'm hopefully going to be making a lot of people laugh. But I told a few people, I said, you know, Deadpool is going to be in theaters December 21st, and it's a PG-13 version, and so many people have gone, And I said, what do you mean? And they go, well, Deadpool needs to be R-rated. It's not going to be funny if it's not R-rated. And they are so wrong. I mean, so much of what we did on the set, I didn't reshoot anything for it because so much of what we did was not R-rated and was really, really funny. So I can't wait to go see it as a fan. And I've been really lucky. You know, a lot of the movies that I'm – well, I'd say all the movies that I'm in – are things that I would go see. And I like, well, not Transformers 4. But everything else, I would definitely go see. And I even liked Transformers 4. I thought it was about 2 hours too long. But I really enjoyed, you know, I just enjoy Michael Bay's work. I think he's a real genius. And I really like Wahlberg. He's become a buddy. And
you got the Dinobots in that one.
He's a mentor. Yeah, yeah, definitely. That was the beginning of the Dinobots and the end of the franchise's relevancy. And no, I'm kidding. But I you know, I think that Deadpool is going to really surprise people. And that's what's fun about it is all these kids that didn't get to see it because their parents were sort of a little tight about the R rating. Now we're going to get to see it. And I think word's going to spread among Deadpool fans that, hey, this is as good as the R-rated version. It's just different, you know, and it's different enough that they actually would release it. I mean, Fox and Ryan and Paul and Rhett wouldn't release a film that wasn't different enough, and Fox wouldn't do that either. I mean, they're one of the smartest studios out there. So I think people are really going to respond well to that. And then, you know, that's kind of more fun, and Office Christmas Party is kind of more fun and more R-rated comedy fodder. And then the next thing that I'm doing is called Underwater with Kristen Stewart, and it's sort of a return to the Cloverfield stuff that I did in that first Cloverfield, because it's, you know, it's sort of a thriller, it's a disaster film, and I, again, am doing the comedy like in Cloverfield, but I'm really excited for that, because I filmed that 10 years after I did Cloverfield, and so you really see that Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours, 10 years of acting, and hopefully people like it. If they don't mention it to me. Just come and see the stand-up.
Well, we'll be seeing you this weekend, Vinny Brand's Stress Factory. See, I'm resetting it just like we talked about.
You're good. He's good. Your listeners know. That's why they tune in.
TJ Miller, Thursday through Sunday, going to be in Bridgeport this weekend. And I do got to ask you, the last time you were in Connecticut, things weren't so great. Has everything been resolved with what happened earlier this year?
Well, that's a misunderstanding with the federal government that I cannot talk about at all. But I think, you know, we're trying to get to a place where people understand that let me put it this way. I'm touring across America doing bowling alleys in Muskegon, Michigan, and doing great clubs like Vinny Brand's Stress Factory, and going abroad to try and represent America as a comedian. And I'm just, you know, I have nothing but pride in being an American, and I do nothing with my life except for try and make Americans laugh and be happy. So I think people ultimately know where my heart lies when it comes to all things American. And, you know, I mean, Kate and I think mostly we devote, she's an artist who sort of has the same mission statement. And so we devote so much of our time to making people happy, because right now it's kind of tough to live in America for a couple of reasons or a number of reasons. And so, you know, yeah, this time around in Connecticut, I think that people are going to have a lot of fun, and it's going to be nothing but good times.
Excellent. TJ Miller, this weekend, Vinny Brand Stress Factory in Bridgeport, Thursday through Sunday, 6 shows. It's been an absolute pleasure, TJ.
It's been a pleasure. Listen to my podcast, Cashing In with TJ Miller, if you'd like to, on iTunes now. Follow me online at NotTJMiller on Twitter, which is slowly fading in relevancy and slowly dying as a social media platform. At Teenage Millionaire on Instagram, which is almost all but crushed Snapchat as Mark Zuckerberg continues to copycat their platform and slowly destroy them using advertising dollars through Facebook. And you can find me on MySpace. TJ Miller does not have MySpace. It's the backslash. My website is TJMillerDoesNotHaveAWebsite.com. Enjoy that, because it's going to become an HTML hyperlink labyrinth pretty soon. And you know, if you want to see me on Vine, you can't. They shut down Vine.
That's right. They did. 6 seconds out the door.
6 seconds. That feels like about how long it lasted. And that's my last social media joke that I'll ever do.
Thank you very much, TJ.
All right. Thanks, man. I'll talk to you soon, Alan. Thank you.